Galatians chapter 1. In Galatians chapter 1, I want you to start with me in verse 6. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. The Bible says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. The word pervert has to do with corrupt. It has to do with change, corrupt, make different. There are people that try to do everything they can to the gospel of Christ to keep it from being the effectual preaching that it is. Go to hold on here because we're coming right back. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look if you will, in I'm going to start in 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. I want you to notice that Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. You know, the problem with water baptism is it's one of those things that, guess what? It perverts the gospel of Christ. They say, oh, it's just a testimony. That's all it is. It's we're just doing it as a testimony of our Lord and Savior. 1 Corinthians and Galatians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and Galatians chapter 1. But anyway, when he says Christ sent me not to baptize but to preach the gospel, then I know that if people started adding things to the gospel of Christ, and it doesn't matter what it is, if you add baptism, guess what you've just done? You've perverted the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ is a gospel without works. So by adding a work to it, guess what you've done? And so these things aren't necessarily written in scriptures, but you could see what would pervert the gospel of Christ. Go back to Galatians chapter 1. Notice they're not preaching a different gospel. They're preaching the same gospel and perverting it. Verse 7. Which is not a what?
Another.
But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the what? Christ. The gospel of Christ. Go to Romans chapter 1 and look in verse 16. See, what they're going to do is they're going to distract from that which the gospel can do and take it away, therefore making the gospel of none effect. Let me show you how they do that.
What verse?
Verse 16. Romans 1, verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, the what? The gospel of Christ. You see that? The it is the gospel of Christ. Is the power of God unto salvation. You know what I have, would have written there? The gospel of Christ is, of course, in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. But I'd have also 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein what? The gospel of Christ is the righteousness of God revealed. So what the gospel of Christ does is it reveals how you are made the righteousness of God in Him. You got it? That's what that does. Guess what baptism does? It takes away from the righteousness of God and starts to make you doing things that are righteous. So you become righteous when you do that. You see how they do that? What did they just do? They just distracted from it. How about if you walked the aisle? Would that, it would do exactly the same thing. It would cause the cross to not be the finish. Now, the reason I'm righteous isn't because I've ever been baptized. The reason I'm righteous is because what Christ did at the cross. That's the gospel of Christ. And so anything that they add to this gospel, whether it's walking the aisle or whether it's keeping the commandments, what did he yell?
The sinner's prayer.
All of those things would distract from that which you are in Christ. In fact, go to Colossians chapter 2. Go to Colossians chapter 2. Here's the problem with the gospel of Christ. The problem with adding anything to it would be. Look in Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. And ye are what? Complete in Him. You got that? Are you? Yeah, why? Because of the gospel of Christ. You're complete in Him. So the gospel of Christ also equals what? Completeness, right? Is that right? I don't care. That looks right. Completeness. What does this do? Tells you that you're incomplete. You see the difference? They're saying you lack something. You're lacking something. You need something more to make you that more righteous state. And they're distracting from the gospel of Christ, which you are the righteousness of God in Him, and you have completeness in Him. See, anything you do to add or take away to the gospel of Christ, you can't take anything away from it. Everything you've got is amazing in the gospel of Christ. You got it? Now, you can say whatever you like, but that's the most amazing thing that I can tell you, is that when it says you are complete in Him, the things that you do then start to detract from His righteousness. It's almost... I was thinking about this driving home last night, listening to opera. I don't know what opera has to do with it, but I mean, it's kind of refreshing every now and then. I am God. And that girl goes, ah, and I'm looking for my windshield to crack, you know? You know, I'm like, oh my gosh, if she hits any higher, we're in trouble. And but it was kind of, you know, I'm driving down the road and I'm listening to this and thinking about this. And I'm thinking, what is it? What is it that God hates the most? No, I mean, which sin? Which sin does God hate the most? Well,
probably just sin.
Here's what God hates. He hates anything that takes away from His Son's work. I'm going to say the sin of vainglory. I was baptized. I walked the aisle. What an insult to a holy and righteous God that offered up His Son for you to act like you can complete the work for Him. I mean, you know, really, if you think about the insult, I thought about it in the light of Philemon. Go to Philemon. I almost preached on this down at the conference, and I thought, well, you guys might enjoy it better. If you're wondering where everybody is, we got a lot at the conferences, a lot on vacation. Our Bible conference was good. I had never eaten that many crawfish in my life. I could have sat at that table and ate another 10 pounds of them. It was unbelievable how good they were. Are y'all in Philemon? It's like this. How insulting would this be after you know that God, or Jesus Christ, this Philemon is a letter from Jesus Christ to Almighty God. Just keep that in your mind. That's what it is. And it's written on your behalf and your homecoming. And basically, I'm just going to pick up in the context, but verse 15. And perhaps he departed for a season that thou shouldest receive him forever, but not as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, specially to me. But how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. And if thou count me therefore as a partner, receive him as myself. He's telling God to receive him just like he is, or like he would be received. If he has wronged thee or owed thee aught, put it on my account. I, Paul, and I'm just going to change that for a minute, I, Christ, have written it with my own hand. I will repay it. Albeit I do not say how thou owest unto me even thy own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord, and refresh my bowels in the Lord, having confidence and obedience I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. Wow. Wow. Amen? So all these things that you're doing is distracting from what he has already and still willing to do on your behalf. I think the greatest insult of God is anybody who says this statement. How many have heard this statement? You know, all these years I lived like hell on earth, but now since I'm saved, I'm going to live for him. And in doing all this, they start to do this list thing. They keep the commandments they think and on. You know what they're really doing? They're taking away from what he did for us. He's literally, you're denying what he did. Yeah, I can tell by your face you guys aren't getting it. Max got it. Y'all understand? Anything that you do, it's like saying, Lord, you didn't do enough, let me help you out. Like you got to be kidding me. Like something you're going to muster up is going to be better than what the Lord did? You got to be kidding me. I mean, somewhere you got to go, you're joking me. Go to Isaiah 64, a verse you guys are well familiar with, but go there anyway. There may be someone watching the first time, and we had a lot of people comment how much they appreciated the program at the conference. In Isaiah 64, verse 6. For we are all as unclean things, and all of our righteousness are as what?
Filthy rags.
There is nothing you're going to add to what you have in Christ that is going to impress God. You might as well relax. I'm just telling you, most people are destroying by what they're doing instead of relaxing in what's been done. Boy, I better write that down. That's actually a pretty good little statement. Did someone write that down? We'll put that in a quote book. I mean, that's a good verse. I mean, good thought. God's more impressed with you relaxing in what he's done than with whatever you could muster up on your own. God is not impressed with you. Sorry. You know, we kind of destroy children from the time they're little. I'm guilty. My kids turned out spoiled brats. We love them. They're just spoiled brats. You might have one or two of those. Birthday comes, everything centered around them. When they ride the bike, centered around them. You know what we're creating? We're creating little narcissistic children. It's really amazing. It's like the whole world centers around them. When it will never center around them, it centers around my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But we create this narcissism in them. Like, Daddy, watch me play ball. I'm going to hit a home run. Who cares? It's already been done. I'm going to be the greatest singer. What? Come on, are you kidding me? Michael Jackson's already dead. That was a joke, but obviously that wasn't very funny. McGann got it, but that was about it. Y'all understand?
Yes.
But the greatest thing you could be is a believer. Yes.
Okay. I would like for you to define works in a way that differentiates, because without us working, nothing gets done.
Yes.
Okay. And I understand, but I think we need to differentiate.
I think I can do that. Let me see if I can do that. And if not in this part, in the second part for sure. You know, I may not get to that, but I am going to get to that today.
Okay, good.
Because I go to Titus. Go to Titus, chapter 1. Now, we're talking about salvation. And I think that will answer Ron's question, I think, in the end. That we're talking about the gospel of Christ. So, what we're talking about is things that deny His finished work. Not the things you should be doing for Christ's sake. And there are things you should be doing for Christ's sake. You all understand? I believe that Jesus Christ would have you to do things for the ministry that are right. But I don't believe that God would have you to count any of those things as brownie buttons with Him. And I'll show you what I mean by that. In Titus chapter 1, I want to start in verse 10, but really we could read the whole thing. I mean, it's just verse 10. Titus chapter 1, verse 10. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcisions, whose mouths must be what? Stopped. Who subvert whole houses, teaching things they ought not, for what? Filthy lucre. This is kind of in that list. Why? Well, if we knew how many got baptized, we would know how many got saved, and therefore we could put them to work and whatever, and that kind of thing. And walk the aisle and, you know, put them under the bondage. We have some control. You know what the law is called? The yoke of bondage. You know what a yoke is used for? Control. It's control. The yoke of bondage. It is for control. If I got you under the law, guess what I would have? I'd have control over you. Grace is the opposite of that. Y'all understand? But how many churches put you under bondage so they can control you? 99% of them. And a lot of them get to doing, quote, Christian work before they're Christians. You know how I know? They did it to me. You know, in the Methodist Church, I don't know if you know this, they have aqualites that come up in the front of the service and we wear robes. It's so dumb, you know. It's almost like a Catholic Church thing. It was kind of strange, really. I walk before the preacher, and I'd turn over and I would light that candle over there, that candle over there, that candle. And then I would turn back, and my partner who did the other side We would join and we'd go up and we'd sit with the preacher while the preacher brought forth the sermon. And I can tell you that I thought I was righteous. I mean, I didn't polish my halo every day, but nearly every day. Till I hit 15. And Budweiser beer came into my life. It changed everything. I realized then that scale was a little bit toddly, you know, whether you're good enough or bad enough to get in, you know, that kind of scale. And that thing would have kept me from seeing the gospel of Christ and would have perverted the gospel to a point that I would have thought, well, and in fact, I heard Jerry Sanders did a great job and preaching about his salvation. He preached 4 years lost. And he was driving home in a van, working directly with Brother Moore for 4 years, 7 days a week for 4 years. And Brother Moore had preached a sermon that got to Jerry. Hang on, just, you got a question?
Yeah.
All right, just hang on just a second. And it kind of brought this sermon on because here he is doing all these things. Filming Brother Moore, fixing the cars. He did it all. And one night, driving home at 9:58 in the evening, they got to a rest area, so they go to the bathroom, and he realized he was lost. And he trusted the Lord. So he pulls up in Brother Moore's front yard where everybody met, and there were about five preachers, guys like me that worked for him and things. And Jerry got out and said, Brother Moore, I've got to tell you something. I just trusted the Lord. And Brother Moore's reaction wasn't, oh, you've already been saved. Brother Moore's reaction was, praise the Lord. But he says, let's have a word of prayer. And it wasn't about Jerry, but what he knew was about to come because he just trusted the Lord, that people would put him down and say, this. And in his mind, the wrestle was, is I'm doing all these works. You got it? I'm doing all these things for the Lord, man. Look how, man, I'm working for brother. He said it so good. He said, I was working for Brother Moore. You know, you, if anybody's going to be saved, right? Amen. He would have known he had ESPN. He'd have figured it out. But he said the one thing Brother Moore didn't ever have was ESP. And there I was lost, he said. And I remember because I got saved about a year before Jerry did. And his preaching was always informational, but never gospel. Brendan and I used to go, that's weird. He never preaches the gospel. It's all about things about the Bible, but never about the gospel. And so when he got saved, I said, praise the Lord. But all the other men in the thing, buddy, said, what, are you crazy? You work for Brother Moore. And he said, it doesn't matter. He said, I was lost. And it reminded me of this verse. Verse 15. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and their conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God. Now look, but in works they deny Him. You see that? In works they deny Him. He was trying to work his way to heaven. He thought by working for Brother Moore and all these things that, man, he has got to have a spot in heaven. Well, see, that perverts the gospel of Christ, don't you see? That takes away from the finished work of Calvary. But in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. You know, what God is interested in with the gospel of Christ is a very simple, simple thing. He wants you to just relax in him. You got it? That's all he wants you to do. He doesn't want you to have to, hey, listen, everything that could be possibly done for your salvation. And again, I've got to go back. Go to Philemon, just a page or two over there. And I want you to hear that even if you screw up, he doesn't want you to make penance and go through cut glass to get it all right. You know what he says? I'll take care of it for you. Verse 18. And if he hath wronged thee or owed thee aught, do what? He wants you to relax. He has got you covered from the time you get saved until you're out of this world. And what he wants is the glory. You say, well, who saved you? Well, the Lord saved me. He doesn't want you to say, man, I really tore up the thing. Look at me. I'm a Joe Christian, and I'm doing everything you could possibly think of. That's not what he's interested in. He's interested in the glory that a God that would do this should get. That's it. And the less you do in the sense of your salvation, the better. He likes it. Say, can you be saved and get baptized? Yes, you can. But what did you do? Yeah, you started perverting the gospel because you're taking away from the finished work of Calvary. Does that make sense?
Right.
You're grieving the Holy Spirit. You know, and so people that come up and tell me all about that, but don't tell me about when they got saved, I worry about. Because what God's interested in is your testimony of salvation. Go back to Galatians chapter 1, the text that we started on, and just listen to the attitude he wants you to relax. Everybody take a deep breath right now. You know what? You're either saved or lost right here, and he knows it. And anything he... Listen, you're not fooling God. And it's the most amazing thing how you think you're sneaking around getting away with it. Guess what? You're not! God knows! Say, well, I'm really smoking. When I first got there, I learned right division. And the reason I'm telling you this, I learned right division for 2 months prior to my salvation. And I was pretty good at it. Man, I studied every book I could get on my hand. I was a maniac. I wanted to get it down. Because you know what? I wanted to be like them. But to be like them, you have to trust the Lord. The reason I wasn't like them is I was constantly trying to do it by works instead of by faith. And I was, you know, the make-deal Christians. Have you all ever been a make-deal Christian? I used to say, Lord, if I'm lost, save me. Lord, I'll do anything if you'll save me. And I did that for years. I mean, you know, years. But more so in the last 2 months right before I got saved, I was just trying to make deals with God. God's not interested in your deal. Here's the dealy willy. You want the dealy willy? Here's the dealy willy. It's all been done. Just relax. You can't do anything to save yourself. You might as well take a deep breath and trust him, because nothing else you're going to do will bring you to salvation. It's kind of amazing, really. And you struggle with it a little bit. Renee, can I use you for example?
Sure.
Renee came to me and said, man, I think I'm lost. So she kind of, I tell her the gospel. Another week or two came by and she says, you know, tell me a little more about this stuff. And it was, from the first time you talked to me to when you got saved, was how long?
From September to February.
Okay, September to February. And she's dealing with it in her mind. She wants to be saved. But you know what you're trying to do? You're trying to figure out how to be saved. You know how you get saved? Did you hear Mac? Just so on the internet you get it. He said, give up. Just relax. You can't do anything anyway. What are you going to do? Impress God? Okay, I'm saved. Now I'm going to really live it. I'm going to impress God. God's seeing His Son. When He looks down at Barry, He doesn't see that fat little old rascal. He sees the blood of His precious Son, Jesus Christ. We're like reaching up. Yes.
All right. That's where I was making the point.
Okay.
When we're not doing work to impress God, you know, actually what we're doing is when we do for Him, we're doing it in appreciation and gratitude for what He has already done.
No, and I'm going to get to that. I'll get to that. But got to remember what we're talking about is in Galatians chapter 1. You're mixing. Here's what we're mixing up. Salvation and walk. Two different things. What we're talking about is over here. You got it? That's where you got to divide it in your mind. What we're talking about is perverting and causing people not to get saved. You got it? Go to Galatians chapter 1. Now watch this. Verse 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would what?
Pervert
the gospel of Christ. Well, what would that do? Cause people not to get what? Now, fixing a sink or a toilet isn't going to do that, brother.
That's correct.
So we're not talking about that. We're talking about things that you would count on for your salvation that you think that there's something there. And you don't think that that's a big deal? Go out and talk to people. Ask them, if you were to die tonight, where would you go and why would you go there? And you know what most people would say? I hope I go to heaven. You say, okay, great. Why? Because I've been good. And that thought was because somebody perverted the gospel of Christ.
But that is works. When we go out and talk to people and share, I'm not talking about labor, like doing what you said about plumbing, whatever. Works is like when we put energy out for God to go out and talk to people and to witness for God and to teach them what the scriptures are and teach them what you're teaching us, okay? That's creating energy. That's work. We are working for Him, for His glory.
I'm going to get to that, I promise you. But you can't mix it up with the gospel. People trust different things for their salvation. I've had them say, well, I believe, I hope I go to heaven. And you say, why? And they say, well, I'm keeping the commandments. I've joined the church. I've walked the aisle. I've said the sinner's prayer. In all those things, what's happening? They're denying or diminishing or, as Galatians says, perverting the gospel of Christ. Now, what's fascinating about Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 and 7 is how he words it in verse 4. Look at this. He clarifies it clearly. Who of verse 4 is the reference to the Lord Jesus Christ of verse 3? You see that? Who, the Lord Jesus Christ, gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil world. That's the gospel. It doesn't get any simpler than that.
Amen.
So what happens is people then start adding to the gospel. Well, but you haven't been baptized. I know my sister Catherine got pressured into being baptized while she was in Mongolia. Well, what did she learn to do? She just learned to pervert the gospel of Christ because, hey, the gospel of Christ is it's done at that cross 100% and nothing you do is impressive to God.
Right.
You with me? That's the way it is. That's the way it is. And there are things that distract from the gospel of Christ. You got it? Those things need to be cut out and pointed out.
One of the things that clearly shows that is a church that would preach the gospel, that Christ died for your sins, and trusting in that is what saves you.
Yeah.
And then they add to it, but if you want to join this church,
you've
got to get baptized.
Yeah, exactly.
Otherwise, you're not a member of it.
Right. That's a good example. And that is what the perversion starts happening. So people then start grabbing that doubt. When there should be a clear, defined understanding of salvation, start to say, well, should I be baptized? I mean, I remember my sister Catherine calling me up on the phone and saying, what do you think? And I said, well, Catherine, if you're saved, baptism isn't going to do anything for you. They're trying to control you. Now, when she got over there, somehow they got her talked into it. But the realization is I sent her an article with 16 pages of baptism information. If anybody read that and understood it, they would never be baptized. You know why? It distracts from the what? The finished work of the cross, the gospel of Christ. It distracts from it. It perverts it. It starts to change it into works for salvation. Look in 2 Corinthians 11, just a couple pages toward the front of the Bible, probably from where you are. Notice the false apostles, what they're doing. They are not out there teaching Wicca. They're not out there burning incense onto the devil himself. This is what they're doing. Look, verse 13, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13. You know you got to be in trouble when, you know, you're in verse 13, right? I mean, they just, you know there's something bad happening there. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the what? And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing, listen to it, if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their what? What did they do? They could add the gospel of Christ in there, but what are they doing? They're adding works. And they take faith plus works equals righteousness. Well, you know what Paul's preaching? Faith plus nothing equals righteousness. Now, that doesn't seem like a lot, but that's how they're denying the thing. And so, Ron, when I'm talking about that, those are the things that we're talking about that are denying the gospel of Christ and the finished work, and it perverts it and changes it. Listen, you don't have to... It even frustrated me, I got to tell you this. When Brother Moore got to his old age, he started going, well, bow your head. Well, every head is... Were you over there when he did that? Raise your hand. You don't have to do any of that. You don't have to do that. That conviction's there. It's going to do all it needs to do. The Holy Spirit knows exactly what that person needs. Just relax. People say, well, I don't like taking people to Bible conference because there's so many preachers and they all kind of preach a little bit different and that. And I'm like,
that's what you learn.
Really? Don't you think the Holy Spirit knows what they need? Just relax. Take a deep breath. You know, if they're going to get saved, someone said, well, I'm not saved. And I said, okay. Well, aren't you going to save me? No, don't have the capacity to. Well, aren't you going to pray with me? No, I'm not going to do that. Don't you want to pray for me? Not particularly. What do you want to do for me? I can't do anything. Jesus Christ has already done it all. You've already heard it. Why don't you just relax? I think I ought to Don't we need to knock some broken glass out of the way and get down on our knees? No, no, don't think you need to do that. Well, shouldn't I give up drinking? Yeah, that's just because you tried terrible. Y'all understand? What am I? What can I do more than what's already been done? And see, so preachers come up with walk the aisle. Say, how do you know you're going into heaven? When they say, well, I've walked the aisle for Jesus. I'm like, really? How did that do it? Can you give me one verse of Scripture about walking the aisle for Jesus? Isn't that weird? Not one verse. It's not even in there. They're just making the stuff up. But what they're doing is perverting the gospel of Christ. They're causing the cross of Christ to be of none effect. And you know what? It's not just a few churches. It's a lot of them. You got it? It ain't just one or two churches perverting the gospel. It's a lot of them. And you know what we're supposed to do? Look in Romans 16, and we're going to end here. And then I'm going to deal with Ron's thing in its entirety right after this about your place and what Christian responsibility has for you. Romans 16, verse 17. Rather just grab you a throne and sit down, brother. That's what I like. Now I beseech you, brethren, verse 17, mark them which cause divisions and offenses. What do you think are offenses? Anything that takes away from the finished work of Calvary's Christ. Or Calvary's cross. You got it? Anything that is an offense. Contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and do what?
Avoid them.
For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own bellies, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the heart of the what? There is hundreds and hundreds of churches deceiving people into thinking that what they're doing has impressed God.
And I will add, that's why we're here, because the last church we was in, the preacher had the audacity, preacher had the audacity to get up there and say, if you don't speak in tongues, you're worthless, you're not a Christian, you're as worthless as an elephant without a trunk.
That's pretty bad. That image almost makes me think of like a big rat.
Well, I mean, I went into the Bible and I did research. I had volumes to dispute that, to not argue, to debate. He wouldn't debate me. Now, he's supposed to be smarter than I am because he's supposed to go to college and all
that. No, trust me. No preachers are smart.
Well, I'm talking about in the Bible.
Yes.
And he would not debate me. And then I said, well, Jay, I don't think we belong here.
Yep.
Because when he's repeatedly, and I heard from other members that he still...
Well, and that kind of stuff. It's that kind of thing that really does pervert the gospel of Christ.
That's right. Amen.
And that's what we're talking about. And guys, listen, it's not just one church. It's in all of them.
That's right.
And it's hard. And it's hard to keep this church just on focus on the line of gospel. People say, well, you preach about the gospel a lot. Hang on, here's the information. That's all there is. Everything connects to it somehow. If it doesn't connect to it, you're missing the point. So today we didn't just really talk about the gospel. We talked about things perverting the gospel.
That's right.
And you ought to be able to recognize those things. Take a break.